We've been talking about life as spiritual warfare for a number of different weeks. We've been looking at seeing life through God's eyes. And a couple of weeks ago, we started talking about seeing life as the spiritual warfare. You know, I was preparing for this, I got to thinking, you know, sometimes in cartoons, you know, you see an angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other shoulder, and the devil's whispering in the ear, and the angel's whispering in the ear, trying to get them to go different ways. And I got to thinking, that's a pretty good picture of what it really is all about. You see, life is war. We've been talking about life as war. In your notes, I put just a little bit of review there. That life is spiritual war between God and Satan. And war is armed, hostile conflict between kingdoms. The kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of Satan and his demonic forces, and the kingdom of God. So God fights. His purpose is to rescue people. Satan's purpose is to destroy. God's weapons are love and truth used in his power. Satan's weapons are hate and deceit used in demonic power. And so that's the spiritual warfare that we're in the middle of. Spiritual war revolves really around three objectives. The first one is knowing. That's the first blank there. It's about knowing. It's about knowing Jesus Christ and receiving the life that he gives us, moving us from death to life, spiritual death to spiritual life. And so it's not just about having sins cleansed or sins removed. It's about restoring the relationship that we have and giving us new life. So our memory scripture says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says, I have come that they may have life. And so the first objective is for God, he wants every single person to know him and receive that eternal life. Secondly, it's about growing. It's about growing. So it's about knowing, that's life, and then it's about growing. That is increasing in the abundance of the life that we experience. Again, John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life, that's knowing, and have it abundantly. So it's increasing. The kind of life that we have in Jesus Christ isn't static. It isn't just you find this relationship and that's it. But as we grow in this relationship with him, all that he offers to us increases. So our peace increases, our joy increases, our ability to be what he wants us to be, and patience and kindness and goodness, all of that increases. Abundance. And so in the spiritual warfare, God is trying to give people life. Satan is trying to keep them captive to his death. God is trying to help us to grow in this life so that we experience more and more abundance. Satan is trying to keep us from experiencing God more and more. So in this spiritual warfare, if you are a Christian, Satan is not happy with you, but he wants to hold you down as much as possible. He wants to keep you defeated. He wants to keep you from experiencing the abundance of life. And then finally, it's about showing. So knowing is about having this personal relationship that gives us life. Growing is about increasing in the abundance and all that God wants us to experience. And then showing is about fighting for God so that other people can find that life and other people can increase in their abundance. It's pointing people who don't know Jesus to Jesus. So it's about showing. It's about helping people find that eternal life. Because if a person is not in relationship with Christ, the best picture really is of that person being a captive. In Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to look at in just a minute, it says our struggle, our battle, our war is not against people. It's not against flesh and blood. Because if you are a part of God's family, you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you have that relationship, then you are a part of his family and a part of his army. If you're not, then you are captured by sin and the forces of evil. And so the best picture is that anybody who doesn't know Christ is a captive, and our job is to join Jesus Christ, follow him as the general in our army to free those who are captive from sin and bringing them to Jesus so that they can have life. So everything about life is in this context of spiritual war. God working on our behalf to get us to him and experience abundance life, and Satan trying to keep us from God or keep us from that abundance in life. So on a very practical level, when you wake up in the morning, you're waking up to spiritual war. And so in this picture, you have Satan on one side saying, be grumpy today. Look at life as a problem. Think about all the worries and how bad it's going to be. Think about all the stuff that you want selfish. And on the other side, you have God saying, okay, this is the day that I have made. Rejoice and be glad in it. So as soon as you wake up in the morning, you're in the middle of war and you have a decision. Which direction are you going to go? You wake up in the morning and you have some decisions. Satan says, don't worry about your body. Just eat whatever you want and, you know, do whatever you want. Don't take care of your body. And God is saying, no, I want you to have abundant life. So make the decisions to take care of yourself physically. Satan is saying, just get on with your day. Go do whatever you want. And God is saying, pause and spend some time with me. Because if you'll spend time with me, then I will give you the abundant life and I will walk with you through this day. See, everything that we do in life is in the context of spiritual warfare from a very, very practical level. You never make a decision that isn't in the context of spiritual warfare. We're either in alignment with God, walking in tune with God, or in disalignment with God. Your daily time with God is not something we should do out of duty, but rather it's the opportunity to be in the very presence of the general, the commander-in-chief, who wants to infuse you with all that you need for your day. Spiritual warfare, what will I fill my mind with? Satan says all the stuff that'll take you away from God. Just sometimes it's just distractions. And God says, no, fill your mind with the things that will cause you to think like me. How will you interact with people? Will you see them as something to get something from? You know, those people that can give you something. You suck up to them so that you can get something? Or if they don't have anything to add to your life, you just kind of dismiss them and treat them badly and yell at the people that pull out in front of you as you're driving, but I'm not meddling. Treating the clerk at the store, treating the people that you work with, all of that is spiritual warfare. Either we are helping people to know Christ and to grow in Christ, or we are being used by the devil to harm them. It's all spiritual warfare. How you spend your time, how you spend your money, how you do your taxes. It's that time, in case you didn't know. You've only got 2 months to get it in. And then when you go to bed at night, you go to bed in the context of spiritual warfare. Do you end your day with, God, thank you for being with me today. Now, as I sleep, I just give myself to you. Or do you lay in bed worried and frustrated and fussing about all the stuff that will just make you have bad dreams? You see, it's all in the context of spiritual warfare. Everything about life is about having life, growing in this life, and sharing this life with other people. Spiritual warfare. So in order to be good at spiritual warfare, we need to be strong and we need to be smart. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20 is a classic scripture on spiritual warfare and how we're supposed to equip ourselves and be ready for the spiritual war. And I want to read through this whole scripture, but I want to focus on a couple of verses. And then we'll come back to the rest of it next week. Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 20. The Holy Spirit speaking through the Apostle Paul says, finally, be strong in the Lord. Circle those two words, be strong. Be strong. That's an action. He's saying, And God never commands us to do something that we can't obey. So when he says, be strong, he says, you can do that. You can be strong in him. We never have to be a victim. We never have to be at the mercy of other people or spiritual forces. He says, be strong in the Lord. It's not your strength, it's his strength. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. All of life is the conduct of spiritual warfare, and so we need to be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. He's on one shoulder trying to get us to go his way. God is on the other shoulder trying to get us to go his way. And then he says, very important, verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Our battles are not against people. No matter how much people hate us, no matter how much they may persecute us or treat us badly, they are not the enemy. Look at me. Look at me. There's no person in your life that is your enemy. Satan may use them, but they're not the enemy. Our struggle, he says, is against rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. And we'll look at this later, but I just want to say, every piece of this armor is Jesus. Every piece of it is Jesus. So what he's saying, he's giving specific kinds of tools to use and aspects of Jesus, but in essence, he's saying put on Jesus. Take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So today I want to zero in on these verses. Verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord. Well, how do we be strong in the Lord? I'm going to tell you. And in the strength of his might, be strong in the Lord in his strength, not in our strength. And then jump down to verse 18. Praying at all times in the Spirit. Praying at all times, circle all times, because all times in the original Greek means all times. It means moment by moment. It means there's never a time when you shouldn't be walking in conversation with God, in tune with God, in alignment with God, so that you are keeping in step with him. It's conversation is this relationship. It's not actually talking all the time. It's just being in tune with him, with your mind on him. Praying in the Spirit, Spirit in us, at all times, with all prayer and supplication. All prayer, conversation, supplication, requests. To that end, keep alert. Circle those two words. Keep alert. Keep alert means to pay attention. Be on guard. Keep your eyes open. Be alert. With all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. So not just praying for yourself, but asking for other people as they come to mind. And also for me. And then he goes in talking about himself specifically. God wants you to be strong in him. Strong in the life that you have in him, strong in growing in relationship, in abundance in him, strong in showing other people who Jesus is. God wants you to be strong. God wants to do that. God is not holding on to the resources, the joy, the peace, all that he has with a clenched fist. God is standing there with open arms saying, all you have to do is turn to me and I've got it for you. God wants to answer our prayers. God wants us to be strong, and the way that he gives us that strength is through being in contact with him, through praying. So I want to talk about three prayers in the context of spiritual warfare that God wants to answer and will answer if we will pray them. And in doing, in so praying, we will be strong, we will fight for him, we will experience life, we'll experience more abundant life, and other people will see Christ in us. Three prayers that I guarantee God will answer. Number one, the first prayer is salvation, salvation prayer. And it goes something like this. Lord, rescue the captured. Rescue the lost. Rescue those people who don't know you. Lord, do whatever it takes to bring that person to you. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. And Jesus came and said to them, he's died, resurrected, he spent some 40 days with them, and now he's going back to heaven, and he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And he's implying, I'm giving it to you. Now, here's what I want you to do. While you're living on this earth, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. Now, here's what he's saying. I want you to be about living as soldiers, telling people how they can have life and how they can have abundant life. So for the people in your life that don't know Jesus as your Savior, I want you to be on mission. Your job is to show people that they can have life. Your job is to make disciples, make followers of Jesus Christ. And he says, behold, I'm with you always to the very end of the age. As long as we're fighting that spiritual warfare, he is with us. He is with us. So the first prayer is to pray for one or two people in your life that you have regular contact with. One or two people in your life that you have regular contact with every day. And here's the blank. Set a daily alarm. Set a daily alarm to pray for one or two people that you have daily contact who don't know Jesus as their Savior. It's spiritual warfare. So as you go throughout the day, Satan will do whatever he can to keep you from praying and being in contact with God, and especially praying for the people who don't know him. And so every day, set an alarm so that every day you pray a prayer that's something like this. Here it is. Simple prayer, 15-second prayer. And I've been doing this for a number of years, along with a group of pastors that I'm coaching. The alarm goes off and it reminds you and say, God, I pray that you will do whatever it takes to bring Herb to a relationship with you. Show me what you want me, if there's anything you want me to do today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, how long, did anybody time me? That was like 10 seconds. If you have time, you can pray longer. The key is to pray every day, to pray every day. It's like putting money in a bank. It builds power. Now, I've been doing this for a number of years, and I can't tell you the individual who it is. Might be you. That was a joke. But I've been praying every day, for a number of years, and it's just been the last 6 months when I've seen a change in conversation, a change in openness, a change in relationship, and the person's not there yet, but I attribute it to regularly praying. Now, raise your hand if there are people in your life Raise your hand if there are people in your life who don't know Jesus that you want to come to Jesus, okay? Now, do you care about them? Yes, you care about them, right? Do you pray for them every day? Some of you do. But the problem is, not that we don't have the desire, the problem is we don't have the tool. So here's some suggestions. Set an alarm on your phone for 7:14 a.m. or p.m. every day. That's one suggestion I have. 7:14 a.m. or p.m. Because in 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, if my people, who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. So he's saying if people will turn to Jesus, he will come into their lives, he will forgive them, and he will make them his. 7:14. So if the 7:14 a.m. or 7:14 p.m. is a good time for you, choose that time. But I know some of you never see 7:14 a.m. So here's another option. 10:02 a.m. or p.m. Set an alarm on your phone, 10 a.m., 10:02 a.m. or p.m. to correlate with this scripture. Luke 10, verse 2. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Now, sometimes I talk up here and you nod your head and you agree with me and then you go home and forget. Right? So pull out your phone. Everybody pull out your phone or the alarm on your watch or whatever it is that reminds you. And I want you to go to the alarm and choose 7:14 a.m. or p.m. or 10:02 a.m. or p.m. Set an alarm. Set it so that it'll go off every day. Now, here's what's going to be interesting. If you choose 10:02 a.m. next Sunday, right after we start worship, we're going to beep, 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 beep. Or my alarm, it's a song. Okay, choose one. Now, again, the alarm goes off, and you pause. You can be driving. You can be in a conversation, you could be in a meeting, and all you have to do is say, "Lord, I pray that you will bring Herb to relationship with you. Tell me if there's anything you want me to do this day." That's it. That's all you do. Now, are there times when you can't? Yeah. And if you can't, you know what you do? You hit pause, or you hit the alarm and change it to an hour later or whenever you could do it. Are there days when you'll miss it? Sure. But I guarantee you will be praying for that one or two people more in the next month than you probably have prayed in a long, long time. And God wants to answer that prayer. God wants to bring that person in your life who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior to himself. He wants to do it more than you want. But as we learned last week at the No Regrets Conference, that God has given us authority, and he won't usurp our authority. He won't do some things unless we ask him to, unless we invite him in. So the first prayer to pray is the prayer for salvation. God wants to answer that prayer, and if you will do that, you will begin to win more spiritual battles. Number two, the second prayer that God wants to answer is the truth prayer. The truth prayer. The truth prayer is this: Lord, what is really going on here? Lord, what is really going on in this situation? Life is full of situations where you go, "What? Am I right? What in the world is going on here?" You're busy in the kitchen, and as you're in the kitchen, your child comes in, sits down at the kitchen table, crosses their arms, and goes, "Huh," with a big pout on their face. Now, something's going on, right? Would you agree? There's something going on that is out of the normal, that is not the, and it's in those kinds of situations. It could be a coworker, it could be something you're facing, something you see, something you hear that you don't understand, but there's something going on. And you stop and you say, "Lord, what is really going on here?" When that child is sitting on that kitchen seat, you pause. What is really going on here? Because the anger is not the issue. There's something going on underneath. Now, we as adults just hide it better, don't we? You know, in fact, I use this prayer a lot when I'm, sometimes when I'm in a meeting, when I'm counseling, when I'm coaching people. In fact, if you look at me and for 10 seconds you kind of see a faraway look in my eye, when I'm, you know, if you come in my office for counseling, it's not because I'm amazed at what you're saying or enthralled at your problem. It's because I don't have a clue. And I say, Lord, what is really going on here? And you know what happens? God shows up. Because God wants to answer that prayer. He wants us to understand situations. Now, in our, the normal way to handle this is the devil on our shoulder going, just react, just react, just respond. And so the child's there going, what is wrong with you? That's what we want to say. I put up with this pouting for 27 years. Don't look at Amber. She's the good one. The devil wants us just to react. But if we pause and say, Lord, what is really going on here? He will give us direction. He will give us understanding. How do I know that? John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. The devil wants to do all that he can to keep us from the truth, because once we know the truth, something happens. If you glance down, I'll fill in that blank in just a moment. Glance down at John chapter 8, verses 31 to 32. Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you're truly my disciples. If you're living in tune with me, if you're following me, obeying me, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus wants to give us the truth. In John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus wants to give us the truth. So it's not just this truth, the Word of God truth, it's truth in life so that we can respond well to people, we can be used by God, we can help and encourage people, because the people that can hurt us the worst and the people we can hurt the worst are those that are closest to us. And if we're not careful, the devil will get into our minds, and not possess us, but just put thoughts in our mind that can harm the people that we love the most. Have you ever wondered why it's so hard to live with the people that are closest to you? The people that you love the most, you do the worst stuff to? You say the harshest things to? It's because the devil knows that he can hurt them through you most. If we pause and ask, what is really going on here? God will tell us. So in every situation, the bullet point says, in every situation, pause and ask and listen for the truth underneath. The truth underneath. What's really going on here? What's really going on here? What is the real issue? Lord, help me to see this through your eyes instead of my own. I told you Amber's the good one, and I was serious about that. Because the oldest one, Andrew, is strong-willed, strong-willed, strong-willed. From the time he was born, strong-willed. His picture's in the dictionary. Strong-willed, Andrew. When he got to be a teenager, it just exacerbated it. And we would have intense fellowship times. You know, Christians don't fight. They just have intense fellowship. We would have intense fellowship. So he's 16 or 17 years old. And as soon as it started, and I knew, because he's strong-willed, I knew I had to go toe-to-toe with him and cause him to submit his will to me so that he would submit his will to God. Not in a mean way, but just to curb that will. And so when he got to be a teenager, when we would start, everybody scattered. You'd hear doors slamming all over the house because nobody wants to be in the middle of that. And so we would go at it. And so we're at this one day, and we're in the living room. And then Andrew says, I don't really remember what he said, but he said something. And then he turned his back on me and went through the kitchen, down the steps, thump, 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 into his room, slams the door, and he's gone. And the devil was on my shoulder saying, you know, Herb, ever since you were a kid, you wanted the last word. Your dad wouldn't let you have the last word. But now that you're a parent, you can have the last word. And inside of me, I'm going, yeah, I want the last word. He's not doing that to me. I'm the adult here. And the God was probably on the shoulder going, well, then act like it. So I go through the kitchen, and I open the basement door, and I start down the steps. And I take a couple of steps there, and I sense the voice of God say to me, what is it that you're about to do? What is it that you really want here? And me being the holy preacher of God said, not now, God. I want the last word. That's what I want. I want the last word. And now you're interrupting me. Take a couple more steps, and God won't leave me alone. He says, what is it that you really want here? What is it that you really want? And I got softer and softer till I hit the bottom of the steps. And I sense the Holy Spirit say, what is it you really want? Because what you are about to do is going to have great impact. You see, the truth of the situation was there was something going on. The circumstance of the situation was intense fellowship and me wanting the last word. And there's a big difference. And we get in trouble in our lives when we don't pause and ask God, what is the truth here? What is really going on here? What is the truth underneath this situation? So the first prayer is the salvation prayer. The second prayer is the truth prayer. And God wants to answer them. He's waiting for us to ask. The third one is the action prayer. The action prayer. Lord, what do I do here? Lord, what is it that you want me to do? John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. He's on our shoulder. I came, Jesus said, that they may have life and have it abundantly. Lord, what is it you want me to do here to experience the life more abundantly and help others to do the same? So the bullet point in every situation, pause, ask, and listen. Pause and ask, and then act in Jesus' strength. Act in Jesus' strength. So we hear what the truth is. We hear what he wants us to do. And then many times our response will be, I can't do that. I can't forgive that person. They hurt me too bad. And you're right, you can't. That's why Ephesians 6:10 says, be strong in the Lord and in his strength. You can't do it, but God in you can. So we pray, ask God, what's going on here? What do you want me to do? And then we step out and act. And when we say, God, I can't do it, but I want to do it in you, and we take that first step, and he will give us the ability to do what he wants us to do. So I'm at the bottom of the steps with Andrew. And I want the last word, but I really do want God more. I want God to do what he needs to do. So by the time I get to the bottom of the steps, I've surrendered, and I said, okay, God. And I didn't have to really ask because I knew what he wanted me to do. He'd already told me. So I pause at the bottom of the steps, and I, Andrew, can I come in? And I hear, So I take that as a yes. And I walked in the room. He's laying on his bed against the wall with his back to me. And I said, Andrew, can we talk? He said, I took that as a yes. So I went over and I sat down on his drum stool. And he was laying there. I said, Andrew, I want to apologize. Now, I didn't have it in me to do that on my own. As you listen to this story, do not think, wow, Herb's really good. Because ask Amber, I'm not. It's in the Lord's strength. It's only in the Lord's strength. It took everything within me to just say, okay, God, I know this is what you want me to do, but everything in me is telling me to do something exactly the opposite. I want to wring his neck is what I want to do. I don't want to sit there and talk. But I sat down and said, Andrew, I'm sorry. Sorry for getting angry with you. I want you to know I love you. I'm proud of the person that you are. And all I want is for you to grow up to become the man of God that God has created you to be. And I love you very much. Will you please forgive me? And I heard, I took that as a yes. I said, can I pray for you? He never turned over. Stared at the wall. So I went over and put my hand on his. Lord, thank you for Andrew. Thank you for sending him to our family. Thank you for what you've done in his life so far. I pray that you would work in his life. Make him into the man of God you want me to be. Help me to be a better dad. Let him know how much you love him. I love him. Now, it's at that point where I expected the Hallmark music to start. You know, the music that, you know, that the room just kind of starts to glow. And Andrew turns over and looks at me with a smile on his face, and he says, oh, Father, thank you for apologizing. You're such a great man of God. But you know what really happened? That's exactly right. Didn't move, never, nothing. And I left. He never said anything about it. But over the years, since then, he said, thanks for being a good dad. And God worked in that moment. And I believe there are moments in our lives that are pivot points. And I think God, because there are other times when I didn't do that. There are other times when I was just mad. There are other times when I didn't apologize. There were other times, but in that pivot point, because I paused and said, God, you know, I listened to what God was wanting to do, and I did what acted in God's strength instead of my own strength, I believe that God worked. And that's what God wants to do through us. Because I could have driven him farther away from God, right? But God wanted him to move closer to God. So the action prayer is, Lord, what do you want me to do here? Galatians chapter 5, verse 25 says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. You see, Lord, what do you want me to do here? It's just keeping in step with the Spirit. Now, that moment with Andrew was one of the big moments. Most of our lives are made up of these little steps. What do you want me to do here with this person at work? What do you want me to do with that clerk that's having a bad day and is grumpy and being mean to everybody? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to walk in step with you? What would you, you know, the WWJD, what would Jesus do is really a good question to ask. What is it that you want me to do? Ephesians 6:10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Lord, what is it that you want me to do? Flow through me. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who gives me strength, things that I don't think I can do. That's the supernatural living that will cause people to see Christ and be drawn to him. God wants to answer these prayers. Salvation prayer, daily. You got your alarm set, right? Now, if you don't have your alarm set, I don't know how you keep track of things. Put it on your calendar, write it down, whatever it is, but put it there. Put it somewhere where every day you will pray for that person. And then as you go through your day, you know, the second part of the prayer is, Lord, show me anything you want me to do today. And then, so reach out to them. That's why it has to be a person that you are regularly engaged with, because it's not just about praying, it's about following God's lead. Does he want me to send a card? Does he want me to call him up to go out to dinner, go to a ball game, engage in conversation? What is it that he wants you to do? The truth prayer. Pray as often as necessary, and it should be many, many times a day. What is really going on here? And then finally, that third prayer, the action prayer. God, what is it you want me to do in your strength, in your power? Three prayers that will cause, look at me, that will cause you not just to be a soldier, but to be special forces in the army of God. To do greater things than normal Christians, average Christians, will do. Because now you're not operating in your own ability, you're operating in the wisdom and the ability of God. So, here's two questions. Who will you pray for daily? One or two people that you have regular contact with. Write it down. That's why you have a pen in the seat back in front of you. That's why you have bulletin outline to take home. Who will it be? One or two people. And then how will you start praying for truth and actions to take? What will be the reminder for you to, instead of reacting and listening to the devil on your shoulder, you will pause and say, what's really going on here? Lord, what do you want me to do? How will you remind yourself? Put a string on your finger, you know, color your hair. I don't know. Just do something that will remind you to do the things you need to do. Would you bow your heads? The question today is not, will you ask these questions of God, not will you pray these things, but will you be in the army of God? These are tools. These are ways to be in constant communication with your commander. But they're not going to do any good at all if you aren't surrendered to him. If your desire is just to kind of go along in this average Christian way, just making it by, just kind of making it through, just kind of barely keeping your head above water. If that's your desire, these prayers don't matter. But if you really want to experience the abundant life that God wants for you, and you want to see other people to experience life, pray these prayers. And if that's your desire right now before God, to simply say, Lord, I commit to you to pray these prayers. I surrender to you to be the best soldier I can be. I commit to you to follow your orders. I pledge that I will walk shoulder to shoulder with this church family. Lord, we pray that you would so fill us with your spirit, that you would give us your eyes and your heart, strength, ability, and courage to be all that you want us to be. Lord, I pray for those who have surrendered afresh to you, who have pledged to pray these prayers, that God, you would help them to be aware of the devil's schemes. Because God, we know that as we make these commitments, the devil will come after us. Stronger, fighting harder. So God, I pray for your protection. I pray for an ability to hear your voice and watch where you're going. I pray this week that you would make us victorious, that we will really live like the winners that you've made us. Individually, in our families, and as our church family, that others will come to know you. In the name of Jesus, we pray.